Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Sunday night, January 8th, 2023. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on my screen by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz, rocking an interesting hat option here tonight.
I like to keep it fresh. Ravens fall to the Bengals 27-16. A couple silly mistakes, but really a game where you feel like you can kind of hang your hat on the effort that the Ravens put forth and the way that they felt, especially in the second half, and kind of just brushing aside a couple pretty stupid big mistakes that they made. Obviously, a strip sack at the end of the first half that gifts the Bengals 7 points and kind of prevents this one from being as close of a game as it probably would have been and felt like it was. So with that being said, the Ravens defense puts forth a super valiant effort, felt like they were up to the task despite being down Brandon Stevens and Marcus Peters and a couple guys and some guys going in and out. But ultimately it felt like, I don't know, the essence, the Ravens are moving forward. They're going to be playing as the 6 seed against the Bengals as the 3 seed in the wild card round. We'll figure out which day of next week. I would put my money on Saturday. I'm going to put my money on Sunday, actually.
You've been touting the Saturday thing for a couple weeks at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, I think they might throw this one on Sunday. I'm getting the vibes now. Thought that if it was an AFC South winner versus the Ravens, they might get this one out of the way. But I think there's a little spunk factor. And obviously the huge question that now that it's the playoffs, the entire media storm is going to be circled around the Ravens. The vultures will be around the Ravens. And if Lamar Jackson is going to play or not, there have been several reports from Ian and other big wigs, big J's in the conglomerate that the Ravens are confident that Lamar Jackson will play. There is still some swelling. The injury is a hard one, and one that it's like there's rumors that it's, or I guess not even rumors, there's reports that it can't get worse, but that it's still uncomfortable, whatever it is. So it feels like a brace situation. Lamar definitely not going to be 100%, and I think that's what we miss so often is that injuries, you're not 100%, arguably ever again. You just learn to overcome it or adapt to it, and especially not during the same season. Like I think of a guy like Travis Jones, who hyperextended his knee and had a knee sprain effectively at the very beginning of his rookie campaign, forced him to miss a couple games. A guy like Mark Andrews, those players end up getting surgery in the offseason or end up having a cleanup or whatever in the offseason, or they have to rehab it pretty profusely. So that is what January football is about, playing hurt, playing when you're a little bit banged up. So Jackson, it feels like, is not going to miss this game. I just don't really think there's any way where he doesn't throw a brace on and go out there and, God forbid, come out if it doesn't feel right and he can't do it. But I don't know. It feels like the Ravens are in a position where they built this team to play the Bengals. The Bengals built themselves to beat the Ravens after the Ravens are going 14-2 and 11-5 and Lamar Jackson's MVP. The AFC North looked at themselves and said, uh-oh, we have to construct defenses that can limit this team from taking this division and running with it, or, you know, on an individual basis, Browns, Steelers, Bengals. And then they go out, they get Jamar Chase, they have Joe Burrow, obviously. They have this explosive offense. So the Ravens countered by, all right, we're done with Wink Martindale. We're going to bring in a more too high prevalent, sim pressure happy, but less blitz heavy defensive coordinator in Mike McDonald that's going to shade receivers a little bit more so, that's going to limit the perimeter activity a little bit, encourage teams to have to throw over the middle. Then they go get Marcus Williams. They go get Kyle Hamilton. They end up getting Roquan Smith, all these pieces. The Ravens built themselves to play the Bengals. They made all of those moves this offseason for this game, basically. And this could have very well been a game where if one or two bounces throughout the season went a different way, that very well would have been for the division, would have been for a playoff spot, could have even been for, who knows, a top seed in the AFC, depending on how things could have gone just a little bit differently this season. So we get a small taste of that today and what that defensive effort was that felt pretty darn strong. Even guys like Worley making plays out there. David Ajabo goes and gets a nice sack and puts the Ravens in a good position to make this game competitive again. So I'm fired up for this one. It's playoff football. This is what we've been waiting for. As a football fan, this is what you wait for. If you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a Bills fan, if you're, you know, an Eagles fan this year, a Cowboys fan, you wait all year. You know, you enjoy the wins as they come. Feels like the Ravens fan base probably didn't do a good enough job of enjoying wins. But at the end of the day, all of it's in the past. The injuries are all what they are, and you have to figure out a way to go be perfect, to go game plan, to go do what the Tennessee Titans did to the Jaguars and made them, you know, despite going on the road, not having your starting quarterback, all of those things. It shows what you can do as a coaching staff and what the NFL really is, that the talent disparity is there, but it is not as severe as we make it out to be. The Titans gave the Jaguars with Josh Dobbs an absolute run for their money in a game that nobody gave them a sniff around to be in. And were unanimously picked. They were, you know, 5 minutes away potentially from stoning the Jaguars offense. Jags end up getting that strip sack, all of those things. So, you know, it truly is any given Sunday. Playoff games have had crazy things happen, crazier than we can imagine. Even the Titans coming into Baltimore and beating them the way they did, or the Ravens beating the Denver Broncos in Denver when they had Peyton Manning, were the best team in the NFL. Anything can happen. I'm fired up for this one. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. Any given Sunday, and I mean, if Lamar comes back, and I do believe that he will, it feels like things are trending that way. I don't have any inside information. I'm just reading the tea leaves from Ian and people, you know, that are kind of connected with the organization, and I believe that he wants to be out there. I believe he has wanted to be out there. It's just tough, and like, I think the goal ultimately was when this offense really started to leak oil after you lose Bateman, it's kind of like, let's keep the plane in the air, right? Let's just get to the runway. Let's just get back to England and let's make it over the cliffs of Dover and just get into the field and just, you know, find whatever runway we can. And that can be your playoffs basically. And I think, you know, to your point, they accomplished it and they had already accomplished that a couple weeks ago. So these last couple weeks, they had felt weird. And really all it turned into was less about the results of these games and more about the health of Lamar Jackson. When is he going to come back? Is it going to be in one of these games? And frustration really started to mount because not only was it not, but we weren't getting a ton of updates on that. Since we last recorded, John Harbaugh has come out and he ostensibly really apologized for like what his performances at the podium a little bit. And I think, you know, we had talked a little bit about before that happened about let's maybe, and I was frustrated too, but it's like, let's maybe take it easy on him here a little bit. He's in a tough spot, but that was nice to see him come out and say that. It was nice to see the reporting that came out around Jackson's status. I do think it sounds like he's gearing up to go and make this thing happen, whether he's going to have to wear a brace, whether he's going to be 80%, which seems to be the number that's going around. It seems like he is going to be out there. And I guess jumping into today's game, you already touched on it a little bit. We don't have to do a ton on it, but it does kind of feel like a game where, you know, maybe the Bengals, their foot wasn't all the way on the gas, but they also like they were, and I was getting a little chippy on Twitter. They were making this into a very much Cincinnati Bengals versus the world thing because they've just gotten so screwed in this whole DeMar Hamlin situation, which, you know, that's an entire podcast unto itself, but they were kind of, you know, they were acting a fool today a little bit, and they barely managed to beat this Ravens team, 27-16. You know, Anthony Brown, I thought he looked very solid. He had some turnovers, but like I also said on Twitter, I'd rather have a quarterback who's going to maybe have some turnover potential, but also move the ball a little bit. I felt like that just wasn't there with Huntley a lot of the time, and you get a couple of touchdowns out of it, I believe, and or maybe it was just one, but 16 points total, and it could have been more were it not for some head-scratching decisions, I think, down in the red zone that led to that strip sack by Joseph Osai, or at least he scored the touchdown. Trey Hendrickson, I believe, was the one that forced that. And it just felt like they were closer in this game than maybe the final scoreboard would have looked like, and that is a very encouraging sign, to your point, when you don't have Calais Campbell out there, when you don't really have Marcus Peters out there, when Lamar Jackson has missed yet another game. And is it all leading to a perfect storm where Lamar took plenty of time off? He got himself right mentally, if not physically, because things were looking a little bit rocky there even before he got hurt. Take some time off. Maybe that's just what the doctor ordered psychologically for him. And this offense is starting to look decent. Yeah, Charlie Kohler making a debut today, looking pretty good, making a couple nice catches. Isaiah Likely with a career high 100-plus yard game, and I think he had a touchdown as well. So, just overall a very solid effort by this group, and I think it's encouraging, if nothing else, going into this playoff game. I'm not expecting, them to go out there and just. Or I'm not expecting the Bengals to go out there and play exactly like they did today. I think they'll tighten it up a little bit. I think the Ravens need to tighten it up a little bit. But to me, there's no reason why they can't make it a close game in Cincy once again next week.
Kyle Hamilton, Roquan Smith, and Patrick Queen, some of the other off-ball players looked mega physical and ready to run and roll and rip and confident in what they're seeing underneath. I think that the Ravens had answers for what the Bengals were doing and empty a little bit. And again, what this Ravens defense has built and the ideas that they have against Cincinnati, we'll get deeper into this game. We'll go back and look at previous game. We'll probably have Mike Santagata on, hopefully, who is our buddy who covers the Bengals, who's tweeted just now smoking a cigar and said back-to-back. And
I got to give him credit, though. He's been extremely level-headed.
He is the least annoying Bengals fan by far.
Yeah, yes. We've got some other more high-profile people in that fan base that have just really shown their ass this week, and Mike is our guy for a reason because he's not.
The coin flip celebration and all of the antics today. Zach Taylor screaming his head off for four quarters. Just the woe is me is really sickening, and I don't know, in my almost 30 years here now on this earth, that's not the way that the football gods reward you, is acting and bitching and moaning and crying. So I don't know. I'm very sick of the Bengals bitching about this.
You know what I have to say to that? Clip. I got a feeling their whole family's going down.
I don't know what that's from.
Come on, man. That's what is it? Billy Madison, O'Doyle rules.
Okay.
O'Doyle, I got a feeling your whole family's going down. It's funny because I said this about the Bills, the way they were acting when the Ravens played them. Obviously, that was going to be lifted, and the fatwa would be lifted in light of the DeMar Hamlin situation. I am rooting for the Bills if the Ravens don't make it past them. But it has been thoroughly transferred over to the Cincinnati Bengals. You better keep your eyes on the road and both hands on that station wagon steering wheel, because I got a bad, bad feeling for you, Cincinnati. It might not be next week, but it might be the week after. And, we're going to see what happens. That obviously covers a wide range of things, but this is uncouth behavior, and I think that they're going to pay for it.
I fully agree. I'm tired of the bitching and the moaning of what's happened and the coin flip and woe is me and the rules are the rules. And, when the NFL designed their little rules that covered cancellations of games where – oh, maybe there's a weather event that prevents a game from going on in week 14, or maybe there is some sort of geopolitical activity going on that, changes things a little bit. No, man, it was a different, unprecedented situation. It sounds like he literally died on the field. If he had to be resuscitated, someone died on the football field momentarily. And then to not even 5 days later be going through the pissing and the moaning and the bitching that they have gone and run to the media with, and the Joe Goodberries of the world. My God, man, just get a fucking grip, read the room. I can understand thinking it. I can understand having the thought, oh man, that sucks. Like, wow, what do we get out of this? But to just continuously bitch about it is just so classless and stupid and beneath what the entire effort of the DeMar Hamlin thing is.
You have to tell yourself a story about why you're the underdog. The Kansas City Chiefs have to tell themselves a story about why they're the underdog. The Bills have to do the same thing. All these good teams have to do it. The Bengals have to do it. They have chosen to do it in a pretty fucking classless way. At least a lot of the fans are, and the coaches and players too.
It's cheap. It's just cheap, and it stinks like Kentucky Gentlemen and Pall Malls. It's cheap.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it, and like the not for nothing, the Ravens literally lost the division. You can talk about the home field advantage and the coin flip. I get that. But the Ravens literally did not get a chance to win the division because of this. I don't fucking care. Like, you know,
now, Joe Burrow's smoking cigars in the locker room, wearing his Joe Cool sunglasses.
Which, by the way, that guy, like, you know, good dude, like, awesome player. I'm getting a little sick of it. Like, it just, the whole thing, it's just too much for me. Like, let's calm down with all this.
That's what the irony of it for me is, that they have been gifted through sucking a very dynamic quarterback and an awesome wide receiver, and they end up getting one of McVay's guys that looks like, hey, he puts them in a competitive position. Can't you just shut the fuck up and enjoy, like, the division that you were gifted, and enjoy that you made the playoffs for the second straight season? After you're in the gutter for years, you finally got it right. You finally have someone better than Andy Dalton or any of the other quarterbacks that you have, and you're still just finding a reason. And that's why, and we do a lot of pissing and moaning ourselves about Ravens fans and what they piss and moan about, but it just goes to show no one in today's society, or as a fan or whatever you want to call it, can just enjoy pleasantries, can just enjoy life. Can't you just enjoy that you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and you made the playoffs and won the division? No, you have to find something to get pissed off and high frequency about all the time. It is draining. It is exhausting. It is bad for your mental health. And stop. Like, smell the fucking roses for once, you stupid fan base. You stumble last year into the playoffs. You get to play Ryan Tannehill and Derek Carr. You're facing death against both of them late in the fourth quarter. People seem to forget. Ryan Tannehill throws an interception. Titans have the ball on their own 40-yard line with a minute left.
Yeah, they were literally they were on the doorstep. Like,
hits Nick Westbrook-Okine in his hands, tips up in the air. Logan Wilson gets the interception. Your rookie kicker hits a 52-yard field goal to win that game in regulation for you. Then they end up making four stops. It might have been three stops after a spike against the Raiders. These might have been in the opposite order. It was Raiders first, then Titans. You make four stops in a row against the Derek Carr Raiders. So you end up squeaking by Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill, the two most unimpressive quarterbacks that will probably play in the AFC playoffs in the last 2 years, save maybe Ben Roethlisberger. And then you go beat Kansas City. You get to go play in a Super Bowl. Fast forward, you are complaining about a fucking seed because someone literally momentarily died on a football field. So there's my fuck you to Bengals fans that are being so classless. Not Mike Sanagato, who we hope to have, but as you said, has had perspective. That's why we like having him on our show, and we'll look to have him on again. But I'm just done with the Bengals, man. I'm done with that fan base. I'm done with the team. I'm done with the bitching and the moaning. I'm not even just done with the Bengals. I'm done with everyone's bitching and moaning. This is playoff football. It is January football. This is the best of the best. This is the best time of the year, and we're finding reasons to be unhappy.
Yeah, I you know, go off, King. I'm right there with you. I've definitely fallen into the vortex of negativity a little bit too, because frankly, and to open a vein a little bit, I think this is what it is for a lot of people: uncertainty about Lamar Jackson's future. And that's tough. I mean, that's a tough thing to square with. And but ultimately, I need to acknowledge the fact that I'm projecting that onto this season, and maybe that's not fair if he's going to be coming back and playing in this game in particular. And that's what has me fired up for, you know, maybe he does leave, maybe this is it, but if I get to watch him play one more game in this uniform in the playoffs, and maybe right some wrongs, and, you know, maybe not even do that, but hopefully just go out there and give it his all. He has been a absolute joy to watch in this uniform, and you know, if he manages to get back out there, I will feel very blessed for it, and I think he'll go out there and make it a game, just like they really did today in his absence. I think things are setting up pretty well for maybe a little bit of a redemption arc. So wouldn't that be fun? It would be unlikely. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm feeling a lot better than I was even just a week ago at this point.
Definitely. It's exciting. It's scintillating. It is playoff football. It is the time for the one game that defines everything over and over again. And you said something unlikely. Well, Isaiah likely goes for 100 yards today. Feels like
he didn't have a touchdown either. I said that earlier. That was stupid.
He had a touchdown last week, though.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of people saying, you know, why not get him the football? I think he ends up finishing second or third in yards, targets, touchdowns, first downs among rookie tight ends this year. Had a really nice season for a fourth round pick, and has started to really peak and for each form late in season here. So him, Andrews, the Ravens end up waving Jackson, who has gone on and said, like, I ain't playing no politics or something. Very confusing move. Don't really know about that one very much.
Yeah, that just seemed like the Ravens and DeSean Jackson the season. That just felt, what are the? It's like the Tony Soprano. Like, it only ends two ways for a guy like me. Like, it just didn't seem like things were. I don't know. I don't want to like speak too bad about DeSean or anything, but just with the way that this offense was set up, I just always felt that was ripe to not end great.
I don't even. Who knows what's going on there? I don't understand that move. A little bit head spinning. But
Sammy though made a couple big plays in the passing game today.
Yeah, Sammy was getting really physical downfield. Looks to be in the tune of the Sammy Watkins that does good things on a football field the last 2 weeks, and was able to create that little separation late. Ends up getting stripped, of course, just kicking them while they're down a little bit.
Salt in the wound.
A really dynamic play he makes.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, Tylan Wallace making a catch. Prochet. Somehow turning like the best
player. I don't understand how James Prochet is on, like, that's at this point, like, how is James Prochet on the team and DeSean Jackson's not?
That's brutal.
The guy just, he's bad luck Brian from 2014. Like, whatever the guy can do wrong, he does wrong. The biggest play of his career that puts the Ravens in position to be in this football game, to go make a run, to feel great about themselves offensively, and he fucking steps out of bounds unabated. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about that one. That one really, like, I laughed, genuinely, heartily laughed when that happened, and I don't know what to say about him. The patting the ball, like, he is going down in history as, like, there was Chris Moore, who also stepped out of bounds at one point at the end of his tenure in Baltimore.
Yep.
But what James Prochet is doing is just reaching a new peak of, I'm not sure how you can be so bad situationally or whatever. The interceptions, the holding calls, whatever is going on with him, just nothing the man can do. I feel for him a little bit, but
I do too. I mean, like, I really do. It sucks. Like, he's a guy that has probably had to really fight against it, even probably since he was in college, because he's, you know, maybe a little bit undersized compared to some guys, but my God, he is the Michelangelo of fucking up. Like, what is the True Detective line? You are the Michael Jordan of being a son of a bitch. Like, the James Prochet is the Picasso of just, like, just completely stupid shit, like, happening on a football field. Some of it his fault, some of it not, but he is bad luck Brian. Like, I said, he was Bitcoin today of wide receivers. Like, it's just a tough scene right now,
all hype and nothing but crashing and burning.
Yeah.
And as you see things, like, you see him create separation at times, all those things, whatever, but it is just, it's out of hand. So those two plays paired up with DeMarcus Robinson starting to get involved, feel himself a little bit, does the little cross to God, you know, caught the ball. And for all intents and purposes, I honestly do think that was a catch. He had the ball goes to the ground. He still has the ball, whatever. I don't care that much. It wasn't that big of a call. Wasn't worth challenging. Don't know why John did that. Anyway, then he ends up just dropping five consecutive passes at the end of the game there. So it's like, when they're doing good things, they're somehow still doing bad things. Sammy Watkins shoves a dude out of the way, catches a ball, runs for 20 yards after the catch, gets physical, and they rip the ball loose and turn the ball over to end the game effectively. James Prochet, he makes a dynamic play after the catch, looks really calm in space, shakes one guy, rattles his way down to the five-yard line, and he was out of bounds 35 yards before he touched the ball. So it just is what it is. The Ravens receiving room is unlucky, is beyond unlucky. There is an evil spirit inside of it. It truly is the Ted Lasso trainer's room in the wide receiver room. And again, I'm just going to say, next year, if you put Anquan Boldin in the Ring of Honor, Rashad Bateman's foot will probably heal. Whatever third round receiver you draft will probably turn into a really good wide receiver too. And you'll end up having the Justin Jefferson, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, Jamar Chase, you know, receiver that you've always wanted at some point in the near future. Something has to be done spiritually.
It's interesting you say that, because, like, we did get him retiring with the team, and, like, I think they actually did, like, a ceremony for him too in 2019. Because I remember I was at Purple Patio and, like, he just getting shit faced, like, and that was, like, the most fun season ever. And, like, he just appears on the screen out of nowhere and he's like, I'm retiring as a Baltimore Raven. It's like, oh, cool, Anquan, like, that's awesome. I don't know.
Yeah, October 13th, 2019, he retired as a Raven. And for someone that's like 11th and 12th or whatever he is in yards and catches, if he wants to retire with you and Ernest Biner is in your ring of honor, then maybe you want to throw Anquan Boldin in there.
Poor Ernest. I do this a lot too, but just absolutely just takes him from the cheap seats. Like whenever the ring of honor comes up,
I mean, like Peter Bowler, like what sure. Peter Bowler's with the Ravens a little longer. He's a very good player, but like, let's fucking put Anquan Boldin in the ring of honor. You don't win a Super Bowl without him. He was your alpha offensively in that playoff run and was dunking on people left and right. What did he score a touchdown in three of those four games?
Four touchdowns. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you want to stop having these James Prochet running out of bounds plays and this weird voodoo hex of dark clouds and evil spirits, then put Anquan Boldin in the ring of honor. It is time. It is finally time. But I guess getting back to this game, Anthony Brown, like you said, stupid interception he threw, but it's not like Tyler Huntley didn't do the same thing in a more high leverage situation at the end of the game last week. The strip sack, you know, probably want to have some sort of awareness of like, hey, ball protection or go down or get the ball out or throw the ball away or something, even if you don't want to be throwing it there, which I understand absolutely not wanting to, and kind of just punting back to the Bengals. Sure, your defense is playing well, but I thought ripped the ball decently well and got guys in rhythm. Charlie Kohler goes and makes a few catches. Looked all right. Kenyon Drake starts dropping the ball late, sure, but they were in a rhythm. Threw for 286 yards in this one, 44 pass attempts. But I don't know. It was moving the football. It was getting Isaiah Likely involved. It was looking somewhat competent at times, aside from the goofy Looney Tunes shit that goes on with the receivers. But it's I don't know. What Isaiah Likely did, having Charlie Kohler maybe able to go play a little bit of a role for you. Look Mark good, Andrews man. Coming back. Maybe Sammy Watkins, Marcus Robinson can make like four plays next week. And I think you've got a good shot to go beat the Bengals.
Yeah, definitely. Going to need to force turnovers on defense, I think, to win that game. I mean, we'll obviously get into it, but that's why you sign a Marcus Williams. That's why you get all these guys on defense to make some plays for you. They're going to need to do that next week. They can't.
Roquan Smith, I mean, him and Kyle Hamilton really today were just – and Chuck Clark bullying the Bengals, ball carriers and ending plays and running through screens, all of those kinds of things. So,
yeah, Williams had a nice run down on a screen kind of late in the game too, which was really awesome.
I think it was a Joe Mixon run.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, all those guys, they looked really good. I think next step is next week, get your hands on a football. Like, however you do it, figure out a way. Bring down Joe Burrow, too. There was a lot of sack discourse that I think we engaged in a little bit in the group chat. A lot of them on the TL today too about
he's squirrely, man, and it's like what he was doing those little loop rounds. The Ravens, when they are at their worst, don't contain quarterbacks. When they let Josh Allen come from behind or they let Tua start to come back a little bit, like rush through keeping a quarterback in the pocket. That's how you end up with an Ojabo strip sack, because there was some level of him needing to step through in order to roll out, as opposed to just running back around and looping and getting full field vision again, collecting themselves as a thrower. Kenny Pickett beat them seven times last week because they didn't contain him. You have a better shot to go hit the quarterback, go make the quarterback feel your presence if you rush through contain a little bit more. So I think that's going to be a major key next week.
Yeah, definitely. And just by hook or by crook, do what you got to do. Fucking bring him down. Like, we can talk about all the technicals and all that stuff that you mentioned is great, but
They're going to be without Collins, and it looks like Kappa. Kappa is on a...
that looks like a bad injury, yeah.
So they are without their right side of their offensive line, which is their revamped side of their offensive line that was their bad side of their offensive line that they had to go out in the offseason and spend a bunch on Collins and Kappa. So they're going to be without both of those guys. I don't know, man. I like the way the Ravens match up against this team. Obviously, you have to be able to score points and move the football and not turn the ball over, but... Marlon Humphrey, Jamar Chase, like, it feels like if the Ravens can prevent the monster play from happening, they have a very good shot to win. If it's that Jamar Chase is beating you on like 16-yard back shoulders that are perfectly thrown and that kind of stuff, you can live with that. But if they can just limit big plays, man, that's really all it's going to come down to.
Yeah, and it sounds very sports talk radio on my part to say, you know, get a couple sacks and, you know, turn the ball over. But like, you know, all that, that's really all it's going to take. That's the next step for this defense. They look good otherwise. That they got put in some tough spots today, but overall, I mean, but Daryl Worley, he gave up a touchdown, but he also made a couple nice plays. That was good to see. Yeah, just get your hands on the football and splash plays in the backfield, you know, TFLs and sack Joe Burrow, and then that's going to set up your offense to do really well. And I think offense, like you mentioned, like the shovel passes to Mark Andrews, like get Mark Andrews involved, look, do a little bit of the stuff that you were doing in that first month of the season. Quick game, just kind of getting guys into a rhythm, get Lamar into a rhythm, just let him set his feet and just kind of rip it to a guy in space and hopefully he makes a play.
All-time quote today as well, J.K. Dobbins obviously going to be super fresh, feeling confident and fresh, but I think the sidelines reporter, whichever one it was is escaping me, said that the surgeon who did J.K. Dobbins' operation,
oh god, that was gruesome,
broke her tool on his scar tissue because it was so much and it was so thick. So I don't know what J.K. Dobbins is the definition of that wolf blood, that Wolverine blood. But my god, man,
he really, like, he's looked so good when he's been on the field, and like he's been battling injuries, and like to that point, like you get a scalpel stuck in your scar tissue, like that sounds
broke off a tool inside his scar tissue.
Yeah, that is disgusting. But I mean, that also lends like credence to his leg just looking like a skyscraper when he's like running on these like long runs. Like it's like the fucking like the Chrysler Tower on one side of his hip, and then the other one is like a fully flexion, like functioning leg. It's been incredible to watch, and he has been like, he's brought the toughness, he's brought that sort of after action ability where you take that first contact, then you bounce off, and then kind of keep a full head of steam and keep moving forward. Like, running backs matter, man, at least to an extent, and that guy is a perfect example of it. So he's going to be big in that game as well.
Most certainly. So it's time, man. Mark Andrews is cooking. J.K. Dobbins is cooking. It's just going to be endless Lamar discourse until, I guess, until what, Tuesday, when he practices or he doesn't. So
maybe they should just stay in Cincinnati. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to run off Skyline Chili and late 90s architectural vibes, but try.
Okay. Well, anything else on this one? And then I guess this sort of doubled as a little bit of a mini preview for the next one, but we'll obviously have more on that coming up in the week. But anything else from you tonight?
Just fucking be a professional offense in any capacity.
Sure.
And this defense, I think, is ready. I think this defense is up to the challenge. I don't think that means they're going to go hold the Bengals to, you know, 9 or 13 points or something, but I think that they can put you in a position to win. And there's a time for this defense to be great and go make a true impact play, go steal a touchdown, pick, fumble, strip sack, something. It's time, man. It's time. This is all the marbles. And, you know, can this Ravens team make a run? We'll get into it further. No is going to be the answer, but go win one game, man. Go beat a divisional team that you know you can beat and you already have beat and you just played a super physical game against. I'm fired up for this one. I'm excited to break it down later this week. Like we said, we'll try and have Mike or someone else from the Bengals community on to share their perspective and thoughts and all that good stuff. But I'm excited. Playoff football. This is the week.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it feels like really the perfect matchup for this team. You know, going back the last couple of years, it feels like these have been the two teams in this division with the most kind of sand, with the most cachet. And they've certainly had their run-ins on the field, and it kind of feels like it's maybe all been heading towards this, maybe similar to the Ravens with the Titans back in 2019 and 2020. And I don't know how like public this is, but I think we heard through a little birdie that Lamar Jackson maybe gave a speech ahead of that Titans game in 2020, talking about what was on the line pride-wise for them, not even just like, hey, let's go win a playoff game and get the monkey off our back. It's like, let's give these fuckers a little bit of a taste of their own medicine here. I would like to maybe, after the fact, hear something like that after a real big win in Cincinnati with him returning. It would just be the perfect story. And you know what? It's been a tough year. Let's give us that at least one, you know, maybe knock him out in the divisional round, maybe the AFC championship, whatever it is. But yeah, let's give us one here this week, football gods. I am praying to you to put these Bengals in their place, but we'll certainly see. Thank you guys for listening to this recap. Like we said, going into it, not a whole lot to really say about this game. I think it was a better game than either of us really expecting. Scoreboard not super close, but they made it look close at times, and if they could have gotten out of their own way, maybe we would be recapping a successful coin flip here. I mean, the way things break in life sometimes, it's crazy. You talk about, you know, shout out to Harvey Dent and all the boys, but other than that, solid week. Ravens finished the regular season 10-7. I think you would probably mark that as maybe a little bit of a disappointment, but overall, I mean, it worked out as a pretty successful regular season in my book when you make the playoffs in a tough division like this. So that's what it is. We'll have plenty more in the coming week about this upcoming game. We'll try to get Mike on, like he said. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a very fun regular season, and thank Christ it is not over like it was this time last year when the Ravens crashed out of the playoffs. So let's all remind ourselves that that's a very good thing. Thank you for listening. Please follow us on social media at Podcast Beatdown. You can find me at Jake Luke. That's Louque. Spencer's at Ravens 4 Dummies. That is the number 4 in the middle. Playoffs are here, baby. Get some.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Out of me. Need that.